I think we have some late word. They're just arriving, and I'll interrupt to bring this to you. This is the latest disclosure in a report from National Civil Defense Headquarters in Washington. It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life and committing acts of murder. A widespread investigation of reports from funeral homes, morgues, and hospitals has concluded that the unburied dead are coming back to life and seeking human victims. It's hard for us here to believe what we're reporting to you, but it does seem to be a fact.
I stand a chance with him?
Well, there's no problem. If you had a gun, shoot him in the head. That's a sure way to kill him. If you don't, get yourself a club or a torch. Beat him or burn him. They go up pretty easy.
Well, Chief McClellan, how long do you think it will take you until you get the situation under control?
Well, that's pretty hard to say. We don't know how many of them there are. We know when we find them, we can kill them.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
Man, it kind of reminded me of that January 6th takeover at the Capitol. Man, could they be living dead? I don't know. Welcome to this program, Midpoint Talk, with your hero, Mark Biro, on WMNF 88.5. Well, less than a day to go before Trump goes quietly into the night. And as more examinations are made about what happened almost a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, it's kind of sad, isn't it? I haven't seen Washington, D.C. in this kind of a lockdown since the day the earth stood still. Boy, there were a lot of National Guard people and military people screening and quarantining Washington, D.C. And amidst all this talk, and I hope it comes out during the impeachment trial, is this talk of an inside job. Control, emergency panic buttons, missing or disabled, people escorting groups of people in the White House, or rather in the Capitol building. Very strange. You have Mr. Haney, Ted Cruz. He's been pretty quiet lately, except, of course, to defend himself. All of that is something to consider. So in this day before the inauguration, what's on your mind? Is it Trump? Is it Biden? Is it anything about the future of this country? I just wonder. Maybe you could tell me. 813-239-9663. Now, I know we're going to hear from our usual bunch of people. I personally would like to hear from Trump supporters, but as you know, most are hesitant to call. So let's give him a chance. Let's go right down the line, and let's talk to Mike in Tampa. Hello, Mike.
Mark, how are you?
Real good, sir.
You know, there was, you may have heard it recently, some polling was done. I don't know by who, so I apologize for that. Usually I like to have facts behind what I say, but something to the effect that since the president hasn't been on, you know, social media, that the percentage of false media, it's been down like 70%, something to that effect. Have you heard something to that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I wish I could cite where I heard it, but, ever since he's been off Twitter and whatnot, and, you know, he had one hell of a megaphone, and they allowed him to speak loudly. So this is the question I would pose. I was going to ask Rob this, but it was late in his program. Do you think that it's time that we have a serious discussion about what the First Amendment really means in today's day and age, that most of the people on the right, most of the people like Fox and whatnot, they scream bloody murder about the First Amendment, the ability to speak freely. But as a society, if we know, or at least we believe we know, that someone is intentionally giving false information, or we can even prove it's false, but yet repeatedly does it, do they or should they still have that right?
Well, it's an interesting question. And, I wouldn't mind if somebody looks into it.
I mean, I don't know exactly how you change it. How do you change the language in the First Amendment that can reflect a modern day, 21st century world? Because clearly it doesn't.
A modern day world, in my opinion, doesn't even consider what might be the truth. There's not even a pretense of that anymore.
Yeah, but isn't that the problem?
Yes, it is. I don't know how you teach that to individuals, but it's sad. That's how lowered the bar is.
Well, I remember, I'm not going to monopolize your time, so I'm just going to throw this out there. I remember when Kellyanne Conway, early in Trump's administration, and she talked about alternative facts.
Yes.
You know, and that, I think that spoke volumes to anyone who wants to, be informed properly, know what factually what things are. And isn't that what his administration basically been? Alternative facts, a.k.a. false or lies?
Yes. And they were very good in doling them out.
Thank you very much. You have a wonderful day, my friend.
You too, Mike. I appreciate it. That's Mike and Brandon. Let's talk to Mike in Tampa. Hello, Mike.
Yeah. I dread the hour and second that this storm monster and our welfare fights the state's office. Welfare reform is fascist policy, and never you take somebody's income away and, gave them into poverty and homelessness and even death. That's fascism, and that makes Joe Biden a fascist. And I don't intend to watch the inauguration. I can't stand to look at the guy or hear his name. And I'm going to be watching Gunsmoke instead of inauguration. Anything's better than inauguration.
All right. I like Gunsmoke too, Mike.
Yeah, I like Gunsmoke, but I don't like the inauguration. I didn't watch Trump's inauguration.
Do you like Louis the Drunk?
Yeah.
I think he's great.
Yeah, I do too.
He's great. I appreciate it, Mike. Good to have your pessimistic outlook. Here is Simon in Lakeland. Hello, Simon.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Real good.
Hey, listen, just as a preamble, because I have a question for the 4 million listeners. We have to pay homage to Alexander Biddleman, who is the founder of the, I'm sure comrades out there would agree, he is the founder of the Communist Party. And the Communist Party started in Chicago, and that's what I want to lead into as to where this country may be going.
To Chicago?
Well, let me, it's to Chicago. There's definitely factual information there. I'll just finish this very briefly.
Okay.
Schumer said that there was nothing off the table when asked, would you change the electoral college to a popular vote? That being said, I'd like to ask the 4 million listeners, and I'll be rhetorical because as of time, and I don't think you know the answer, so I'll briefly say it very quick. The last Republican mayor in Chicago was when? 90 years ago. The last Republican mayor in Milwaukee, standalone Republican mayor in the city of Milwaukee, was 113 years ago. The last Republican mayor in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was 69 years ago. And the last Republican mayor in Detroit, Michigan, was 59 years ago. My next question would be to the 4 million listeners. When do you think the next Republican president may be if the Electoral College is changed into a popular vote? And is that the type of democracy you view as we should have in this country?
I think for the most part, the Democratic leaders of all of those cities were very good.
Well, those were very fair elections. I mean, Chicago's had a...
Simon, are you saying our election just passed is not fair?
Well, if you look at Ronald Klein, who is now the White House Chief of Staff, out of Fox, VOX, July 14, 2014, the question was asked, 68% of Americans think elections are rigged. The now present Chief of Staff, and I quote in his Twitter, that's because they are. That's not my word. Those are his words.
Well, in the Roger Maris poll that came out, only 74% of Republicans thought it was fair.
Well, Roger Maris had 61 home runs.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so I don't know if the
poll... He had the same number as Drew Brees.
Yeah, I don't know if it was juiced up until now, Mark.
Could be. All right, Simon. Thank you. You gave us something to think about, I think. Boy, that's perfect. It reminds me of Eight Men Out, but it's not the tune from that, but that kind of ragtime. Here is David in Pasco.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
All right. Are you okay?
Yes, sir. I wonder if President Trump will pardon Leonard Peltier, the Indian activist, today. He's supposed to pardon up to like 100 people.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he's going to pardon himself.
I wouldn't count on it.
Does he have the ability to do that?
I don't think he does.
Interesting.
But he's an authoritative type of person, so I believe he might think it.
All right, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope that I can answer those questions easily. Here is Daryl in Tampa. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
All right.
And I simply would like to say Klaatu, Barada.
Nikto. Yes.
Yes, sir. And as far as Simon, yeah, the Communist Party may have started in Chicago, but you know what? They make some awfully good beef sandwiches and deep dish pizza. Oh, God, to die for.
Yeah, they are good. They got good Italian food, too, there.
Yes, sir. Hey, I hope you don't mind me piggybacking off of Rob's show. All you can do is tell people the truth. You've ultimately got to make up in your mind to either weigh it out or accept it, or, you know, you're sucked into the cult. that's all you can do. Nobody can make you believe or do anything. You got to want to do that yourself.
Yeah, and the fact is, as I've said repeatedly on this program, the Trump supporter, he doesn't care about anything. He's just like Trump.
Trump supporters, did you hear what he just said? I'm finna hang up now. I really want to hear you right now, based upon what happened on the 6th of this year. You really want to believe that. Okay, bye-bye, Mark.
All right, thank you, Daryl. I appreciate it. And I join you in the call. Let's see. You're listening to Midpoint Talk on WMNF 88.5, 813-239-9663. I'm basically asking you, what are you looking forward, or if you are looking forward to tomorrow, the inauguration, and your expectations. Here is Susan in Anna Maria.
Yeah, hey, Mark.
Hi, Susan.
How are you?
Real good.
Good. I just wanted to say that all the entities and corporations that are ending their ties with the Trump Organization make me very proud of America, and I haven't had a lot to be proud about America lately. And I think it's a good thing because it shows that, you know, profit is not as important as an insurrection against our country.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised, actually. And, you know, President Trump's country club, golf club, missing out on the PGA tournament, all that stuff. It surprises me.
Absolutely. And go Bucks. We're excited about them. So.
Yes, go Bucks. They play the Green Bay Packers. Okay, thank you, Susan. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Midpoint Talk welcomes Jim from St. Pete. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Jim.
The first comment you made practically was about the fifth column, you know, the inside job, they call it, which is really not, they shouldn't call it that because it sounds like a bank robbery. But, you know, it's known as the fifth column, and it's definitely there. You know, it's there in the government, in the every the bureaucracy, the military, the police. We see it. We can see it. And for those who love conspiracies, this is an actual conspiracy. But the question is, should they go ahead and pursue the conviction now or let this thing play out a little bit? It's not like Trump's going away or Trumpism's going away or, we're, you know, they should let it play out a bit and we can find out a bit more. I understand the reasoning that it's very important we should do it now. You know, nothing should stop us from doing it now. It's, you know, it's just so important. But if you lose, you lose. If there's enough embarrassing information, it's going to be hard for some of these people to vote no. So that's one thing. Second thing is, what is the commonality here among all of these people? There must be something that they pretty much have in common, and I believe it's racism. You know,
well, racism is a big part of it. Very big part of it. It's always been our number one problem.
I know. If you really got into an analysis of each person and got them to talk, you would probably find out.
You don't need to. If you know the people, you know what it is. You know.
I have an 80-year-old sister who has a master's degree. You know.
Yeah.
She believes, and her husband, I'm sure, has an influence, that China is behind the epidemic.
Yeah.
That's purposeful. You know, it's like, what are you going to say to that? But I think that a lot of these people a lot of them are stupid. As one person said on TV, you're not allowed to say stupid anymore. A lot of them have just been flipped by jingoism and by buzzwords and stuff. So maybe we need to find the correct buzzword.
You think they know who Buzz Aldrin is?
Yeah. if we could just get, I thought on Rob's program, the denazification program, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. My statement to these people whenever we have and I have very few discussions because I know how far it's going to go. But I basically ask them, well, let's just say that what I'm going to tell you is true. Then what are you going to do? And the answer normally is they shrug their shoulders. They don't care whether it's true or not. Whatever it is they believe in, they're going to go with it. Here is Doug in Clearwater.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Doug.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for allowing me to.
You know, I don't want to do this because I know the challenges that will cause for you with your future callers. But if this is your last show, don't go to Chicago like Simon suggests. It's warmer here, and we have the Super Bowl. And you can get thin crust pizza. As much as I appreciate Daryl's insight, Daryl, try the thin crust. It's just as good as the deep crust pizza in Chicago.
That's yeah, it's good. They're both good. I like them.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Doug, I appreciate it. Thanks for the insight. Let's go to Jose, can you see, in Tarpon Springs. Hello, Jose. Oh, wait a minute. Let me click it again. All right, Jose.
Am I there now?
You're here.
Hey, listen, and again, they were referring to Rob's show earlier, but the talk about the inside jobs that they're worried about from the people surrounding the White House now.
Sure.
That maybe there's an infiltration and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel as a movie buff that I should refer to a movie that that people might want to try watching. It's from the early 60s, back when political dramas were very big in the movies back then. They had movies like Advice and Consent and The Best Man. And this one was called 7 Days in May with Kirk Douglas and
Bert. Yeah, it's one of the greatest movies made. You know who wrote the screenplay?
Rod Serling, right?
That's correct.
And about a military attempt
takeover
for the
yes.
government. Yeah, people should check that one out.
And that came on the heels of the Kennedy assassination. That's really what made it interesting. I agree, Jose. All right, here is Mike in Tampa. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Long-time caller, first-time caller, long-time listener. I just really want to point out something that bothered me about what you were saying earlier.
Okay.
A lot of these Republicans, they say they want democracy, right? And at the end of the day, the real thing about democracy is that it's the most amount of people voting for what they want and their best interest. Now, they're saying that if we have a completely popular vote, they'll never see another Republican president. Doesn't that mean that democracy is working and majority of people in this country do not want Republicans and conservatives in control of our lives because they do nothing to help her. They do nothing to help the bottom line. They do nothing to help anybody but themselves and their constituents. And at the end of the day, there's more of us than there are of them. And
well, that should keep the Electoral College in our column. But the Republicans have been successful in cherry-picking some key states in order to win the elections. But hey, I'm all for popular vote.
I'm all for it, too. But the main point I want to make is that democracy at its core is everybody votes on what they want, and whoever has the most votes wins. And now they're saying, well, if we do it that way, if we actually follow democracy to what it's supposed to be, then they'll never win. And it's like, well, that's because you people are not democratic. You're not what the people want.
I understand the point. I think it's well taken. Well taken, Mike. I appreciate it. You're listening to Midpoint Talk on WMNF 88.5 with your hero, Mark Biro. You can write to me also at dj@wmnf.org. Now's the time for us to go to Danny. Here is Danny in Tampa.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Danny.
One more day, brother.
One more.
One more day, I tell you what. You know, did you hear where Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, went this weekend, went over to the White House to tell Trump to institute martial law if he has to?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the guy who who found God and found Donald Trump at the same time.
Yeah.
He was on crack before. I never thought that I'd say, you know, for somebody who beat an addiction to go back to crack. But in his case, I believe he needs to go back to crack cocaine. Because if this is what his newfound belief is, he is really, really off his rocker, worse than he ever was on crack cocaine, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Mark, as we saw the New Yorker's the video from the New Yorker, the new video out there, it is plain to see that a lot of these guys said, and it's proof, and they can use this in the impeachment case, that Trump told them to go. That Trump told him, how many of those guys said, we're orders from President Trump. Remember that, Mark?
Yeah.
So that to me is that should bury him if the senators had any kind of, Republican senators had any kind of conscience, which I doubt. I doubt that they do. Okay, I doubt that they ever will. You know, people like Jordan and Getz. You know, but that for sure. But maybe there's some like Romney out there that could have some sense, Mark. But no, this is going to be a great day tomorrow. And I'll tell you what, man, look at the legacy that Trump leaves, Mark. An armed camp in Washington. He talks about American carnage at the inauguration. And look at the carnage that he left behind, Mark. He was right.
Yeah, he was pretty ruthless.
Oh, he was pretty ruthless, Mark. And like I say, any Trump supporter, who sits there and says, well, now we need unity. And the Republican Congress, we need unity now. They've got big ones, man.
What about the Chulos?
The Chulos. Yeah, the Chulos. Talking about unity, boy, they must be having a dark day tomorrow. They'll have a dark day tomorrow.
But, well, there's no truth to the rumor that any of them were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's... that's always good to know, Mark, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll tell you right now. So, listen, Johnny United has passed for 237 completions in 1963, a record.
Yes, the year that the NFL played on the weekend of John Kennedy's assassination.
On the weekend of John Kennedy's assassination, I know that.
And Mike Ditka had his greatest day.
Yep, exactly right. Exactly right, Mark.
Another Chicago guy.
You know the Chicago guy, huh?
All right, Danny.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Take care.
You know, I had to laugh on one of these NFL films. They had Weeb Eubank, the old coach of the Baltimore Colts, and they pulled into Wrigley Field. And, you know, the Chicago Bears had these huge Neanderthal-looking ball players. They were the greatest. And Weeb Eubank... They were out and with their hands over a barrel with fire, trying to keep warm before the game. And Weeb Eubank told the Colts, "Look at those bums out there. Look at them. They look like a bunch of animals. They don't scare me any." And Art Donovan said, "Well, you ain't got to play against them, Weeb." I mean, that's kind of, you know, sound like kids, you know. Here is John and poor Richie. Hello, John.
Hey, thanks for the show, Mark.
You got it.
I got a real simple answer for Simon about when will the Republicans win the presidency if they go to a popular vote. Same answer for when they'll win any of those mayors, cities or those mayors that he mentioned. It's when the Republicans put people first before profits and corporations. When the Republicans actually care more about the working class and the underclass as opposed to the rich people and the so-called job creators, those people that, I guess, corporate ownership.
What if they nominate somebody from Chicago?
I don't know if that's going to work.
Okay.
But it's got to be, there's more people in this country that are in that middle class and lower class than in that 1%. And when the Republicans start addressing those real people instead of going, well, we're helping the poor people by giving them tax breaks. Or, I mean, I give credit to Trump for one thing, is he did double the personal income deduction. I applaud him for that. I think the Democrats should go one more and double it again and put it to $25,000 for individuals and $50,000 for married couples. That would put money in people's pockets right away and help stimulate the economy. That would be a great thing. That's when the the Republicans will start winning the popular vote is when they care about people more than they care about profits and corporations. Thanks.
All right, John, I appreciate the call. You're listening to Midpoint Talk on WMNF 88.5 with your hero, Mark Bureau, and your telephone calls at 813-239-9663. Here is Brad in St. Petersburg.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Real quick, a couple callers have been talking about the Electoral College, and I'm in big favor of either having it removed or significantly modified for one specific reason. I feel the two-party system right now is antiquated, Mark. I really do. You're trying to shove hundreds of millions of people into just two boxes. And the problem is, in my opinion anyway, that if you have a viable third party, there's not enough electoral votes to go around for a third horse to get to 270 electoral votes. So the duopoly, or I should say the Electoral College, is keeping that duopoly intact. And for a viable third party to really gain any traction, I feel it has to be modified or removed. And I feel very strongly about that, and I wanted to share that thought with you and your audience.
Well, I'm glad you did, Brad, and I hope someone will pick up on it. Third-party candidates. Here is Billy in Lakeland.
Hello.
Hello, Billy.
Hey, Mark. Always enjoy the show. Real quick, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but we're still going to find out so much more about what happened in the Capitol on the 6th.
Oh, yes, I agree.
I feel as if I've known about Trump. I lived in New York in the 70s and 80s, and I know Trump from way back. I'm curious what you think his goal or objective was when he was given his little pep talk there before it all went down. Because personally, I think he really wanted death, like to the vice president, to Nancy Pelosi. I really think he did. I think he ran home and got on his TV and was probably eating a Big Mac and watching the whole thing. I'm just curious what you think.
Well, what I think really doesn't matter, but to me, his actions are no different than any of his other actions. They're self-serving. In this case, it was very dangerous, and he knows it.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, well, thank you.
All right, Billy, I appreciate the call and the nice compliments. Let's go up a bit here and talk in Clearwater to Vincent. Hello, Vincent.
How are you doing, Mark?
Real good, sir.
It's actually David Vincent, and I'm just glad that we've caught some of the invaders, and they have disappeared with just a faint red stain left.
Are you making this call on a lonely country road?
Yeah, I never did find a shortcut. I'm still kind of out here.
Wow, that's bad. That's bad, sir.
I just wanted to say, as far as people squawking about free speech, you know, it's not a right. It's a privilege. You can go out in your yard and shout all you want, but private companies don't owe you any allegiance to spew, you know, false information. You know, it's like a driver's license. You know, it's a privilege, not a right, in a sense, right?
So. Yes. All right, Vincent, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Invaders, a Quinn Martin production, starring Roy Thinnes as architect David Vincent.
The Invaders. Alien beings from a dying planet. Their destination, the Earth. Their purpose, to make it their world. David Vincent has seen them. For him, it began one lost night on a lonely country road looking for a shortcut that he never found.
Wow. Now you know what we were talking about, huh? Okay, here is Joe in Largo. What do you know, Joe?
I'm driving right now, Mark. Hey, thanks for the show. This is just something I would like to say. George Washington had a daily prayer for his country. It's only about four or five sentences long. It really bespeaks of things as they were and as they are, and I just recommend it. You might want to take a look at it and read it. I recommend it. Everybody listening, look up George Washington's daily prayer for his country. And that's all, my man. I wish you well.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. I'm not quite sure you're on a lonely country road, but safe driving to you. Here is Camila in Clearwater.
Hey, Mark. I finally got through. Yay.
Yeah, glad you did.
You know, along the lines of free speech, I think that there needs to be higher standards for all elected officials. And I think
how high should they be?
I think when it comes to name calling and making fun of people, it should be, you know, they should be censured, not censored, censured.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they receive a condemnation from, you know, the.
Well, what would have happened to our president if that had been in effect?
You know, I
was that David Vincent back there?
Exactly. You know, wow. I mean, he should have been censured a long time ago. And, you know, a lot of this could have been avoided. You know, I tried to give Trump the benefit of the doubt. I thought, you know, he's just got a really strong personality. He has no filter, yada, yada. But when I saw him making fun of a handicapped man, that drew the line for me. And he's lost my benefit of the doubt at that point. And I really think that censure is a really good option, and can stop a lot of this. When we see people behaving badly and speaking badly, we need to censure them and say this is not acceptable behavior, and if it continues, then disciplinary action should be taken.
Well, I think that's a good idea, and I really hope that all of us will employ that as we talk to one another over the next 4 years. Here is Richard in Tampa tagging in. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Mark. Good show. You are my hero, by the way. I would just want to put an opinion out there. The only good thing about this...
Is that David Vincent behind you?
Mark?
Is that David Vincent behind you? Driving behind you?
David Vincent?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
This is the, just want to say we were in D.C. a few years ago, and I remember because Paul Ryan was Speaker of the House, and I remember going to the tour, and we did you can do the Capitol tour.
Yeah.
And just kind of waltz around.
Was it a three-hour one?
No, but I didn't see Ginger or Marianne.
Wow. So, you won't see Marianne anymore.
No, that's true. A lot of them are gone, aren't they?
She was my favorite.
I was a
Ginger fan?
Fan. Mrs. Howell, you know, she... Some about her.
Oh lovey.
But anyway, my point is you could walk right by the
Ginger
House's office. And
you
see there was no security, no nothing. I mean, I could have pushed the door open and say, hey, let's do lunch, Paul. So, you know, hopefully this will be a wake-up call for D.C. to really beef up security because it's been this way for a while. This was 2016, and it was this. You could have waltzed anywhere. You could have gone anywhere. It was crazy. But
hey, we could have danced all... All night, you know. Okay, let's go to Mike in Sarasota. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon, Mark. I'd just like to point out one key fact about the January 6th events.
Yes.
The chief of the Capitol Police, I think his name was Gordon Soon.
Gordon Sully?
S-U-N-D.
Yes, Soon, yes.
He correctly read the situation, and he requested that National Guard troops be made available for that demonstration to protect the Capitol. Now, that request was denied by the sergeants-at-arms of the House and the Senate, and they did not read the situation correctly. They thought it was just, it would be bad optics, quote-unquote bad optics, to have the National Guard at a Trump rally. And they just read the situation as just another Trump rally, and they thought that it would be seen as unnecessarily inflammatory to have the National Guard at a Trump rally. And, of course, you know, from past experience, there had never been mass violence that had erupted from a Trump rally. So this is the reason why there was no National Guard available on that day. And I say this because some people are saying, "Oh, well, there was some kind of racist conspiracy," and
Well, I think once it's investigated, we'll find out for sure.
I thought it was a Trump rally.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I say once they investigate it, we'll find out for sure.
That this is true, but of course, it's already in the news that Sund did request National Guard, and that those two sergeants at arms denied it because it was bad optics.
It's also in the record that Trump denied it too.
Trump was not involved in that process.
Where you're wrong. That's where we'll find out.
Okay,
Mike, I appreciate it. Thank you, and you're not wrong. Here is Michael in Newport Richey.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I was calling about the Republicans that are Trump lovers, and how can they vote that he did nothing wrong?
Okay.
That's it.
That's it, Michael?
Yeah, I've gone blank.
Okay, I understand. All right, I appreciate the call. Let's talk to Gary in, I don't know where it says.
Indiana.
Oh, Indiana. Gary, of course.
Gary, Indiana, baby.
Yes, I understand.
Now, first thing.
That's a place I like to know.
First things first, because there's a lot of important politics. I'm gonna cram it all in. It won't be a long call. First things first. I'm hearing rumors about Bureau versus Tyson. Bureau versus Tyson. Mark, can you confirm or deny that you will be taking him on?
I will take him on as long as he's tied up.
It's a $9 million payday.
I can understand it.
For MNF, apparently, Mike's going to donate his proceeds to MNF, so I know you can take him. You just do the left hook to the body, okay?
I'll try to do that.
Now, on to the truth.
Wait a minute. What if he bites my ear?
Just the Holyfield went on Mike's podcast and said he loved it.
Okay.
And Holyfield admitted that he bit a fighter's ear himself. A fighter's shoulder. On Mike Tyson's podcast, they were laughing like old friends.
Oh, that's great.
It was hilarious.
I can't wait to be with him again.
Mike's podcast, yes, well, you win. I think you can win this time, but Roy Jones wants to talk to you. But look, here's the deal. The Invaders, there's a great movie that's that exact same plot. It's called They Live. And it shows that the people in society are brainwashed by television and society itself into being compliant, sleepwalking sheep. It stars Rowdy Roddy Piper. You can get it for $1 on Netflix, called They Live. And it shows the aliens as the rich people. It is absolutely the most amazing political movie of all time.
I'll have to check it out.
They Live, Roddy Piper as the star. Mark, I wish you the best, bro. And when you get in with Tyson, be kind to him. Be kind.
I'm always kind to my neighbors because Captain Kangaroo always told us to be kind to our neighbors. I don't know, maybe it's me, but this is a hell of a wild program, isn't it? The Invaders, all these people, I really appreciate all the way you pay attention. But I'm telling you, the Capitol being enclosed by all of these National Guards people? Wow. Look at the movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. What was that formula? Did they encase the robot in? A block of K9? I don't think it's K9, KL9, something. God, I wish Merle Regal were around. He'd know the answer. Anyway. Got some still moments here. 813-239-9663. Suddenly, there it is. Listen to that music. Bernard Herrmann.
Good. Latu. Barada. Nikto. Latu. Barada. Nikto.
You can even see with the music the shield coming down and guarding from shooting another beam. Patricia Neal, by the way, when she made that movie, she had a hard time uttering those words because she thought it was hilarious. She thought it was absolutely hilarious. But I can't tell you the number of friends that I've gained by knowing Klaatu, Barada, Nikto way before, you know, CDs and all that. Here is Marco in St. Pete.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Mark. Marco.
Hello, it's me.
I'm glad to hear it.
Okay.
If I could take you back to, remember when the most recent Supreme Court nominee was being vetted and voted upon? Of course you do. And, you know, I called in at the time and was trying to make a point, and I did a very poor job at it, but what I was trying to say was, yes, it's important, the Supreme Court nominee, you know, but I have no control over it, and that's something that's not going to immediately affect me. And I said, I never got my main point through, which was what does really worry me and does affect me is the level of violent nature amongst people that I've never seen or witnessed before in my lifetime. And
where did you go to school?
In New York City.
Wow, that's unusual for you to say that. From New York City, huh?
Well, it's different because when
you went to school in West Tampa, and I can't say that.
Well, let me try to get my point through this time. Growing up in New York City, it was the minorities who were trying to, you know, voice their displeasure by civil unrest. Today, it's the white people who are...
Yeah, they're the victims.
Trump supporters.
Yeah, they're the victims now.
And that's what I see evidence of, and that's what's so scary and concerns me. Because I don't know if that's going away, regardless of what Trump is a national figure or not.
Well, I think you have a point there, something to look at as we go along. Let's talk to Steve in Tampa.
Yeah, I just have a question for you, Mark.
Okay, is it multiple choice?
No, it's just a question. I was talking to Danny Sunday, and he was telling me...
He still talks to you?
That Bernie had gotten a cabinet position with the Biden administration. I said, no, he didn't. And we went back and forth, and I said, okay, I'm going to call Mark and ask him.
Yes, he did.
He did? What?
He got a position with a cabinet position on the Biden administration.
I know, but what? You know, what did he get?
A cabinet position.
You don't know what it is?
Yeah, it's a cabinet position.
I'm trying to think. Can you tell me what cabinet position?
Okay,
what?
You know the cabinet positions on the in the cabinet?
No, I assume
he got like one of them.
Secretary of this, or secretary of that, or undersecretary of this.
Who was that?
What?
Who was that?
I'm saying those are the, you know, those are like different positions in the cabinet, and I'm saying what did he get? You know?
He got a cabinet position. This is what you were arguing with Danny about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. Okay, Kevin in Bradenton.
Oh, Mark. Hey, in keeping with the tradition from today's show, I want to nominate someone to lead the new Trump army of malcontents. And you know, we've been talking about movies, so I've got one for you, Mark. Dr. Strangelove, How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb.
Yes.
Familiar with it?
Well, yes.
In that movie, I will nominate General Jack D. Ripper to be the general in charge of the Trump malcontents. And I think that that's probably what they need.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
Well, it's a good nomination.
Great show, by the way. I think we needed it, and I really appreciate you and always do. Thanks for what you do.
All righty. Thank you, sir. Sanders, by the way, Bernie Sanders will be the head of the U.S. government or the U.S. Senate Budget Committee. That's what he'll be. I don't know about the other stuff, and I think it's ridiculous. We've already known that. Here is Ted in Allentown.
No, Allentown.
Oh, Allentown. Okay. How is Pennsylvania?
It's been so engaging, I actually forgot what I was going to say.
Well, I can understand that. You call this show. Let's go to 49er Mike. 49er Mike in St. Pete. Hello, Mike.
Hey, brother.
How you doing?
Great. 24 hours, man.
24 is all. It's less than that.
I've been, how many happy days are here again? And singing around the house, I am hopeful. And every time that song comes to mind, I think of that image from newsreels of FDR rolling down Pennsylvania Avenue in that huge car in March of 1933 on the way to the inauguration.
Yes.
And they always play Happy Days Are Here Again.
Yeah, that was his theme song.
That was fantastic.
He personally hated that song.
Well.
But how Huey Long, Huey, his chief of staff, he loved it.
I think it's a great song.
I do too.
And I was wondering, what's the Republican theme song? And I couldn't think of anything. Maybe
a 3-hour tour?
Yeah, Hymn to Ourselves. Or maybe a classical piece called Funeral March of the Marionette, which is was the theme song of Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes. How about what is the song I'm thinking of? The At the Cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. You know, that should be him. All right, Mikey, let me run along, sir. I appreciate the call. Here is Marguerite in Tampa.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I want to respond to the person two calls ago, and he was saying about the Senate and the Congress is the reason why they didn't have enough ammunition at the Capitol.
Yes.
And he wanted to deny that race has anything to do with it, but he needs to check history.
He doesn't care, Marguerite.
Huh?
That's why I didn't pay any attention to him. He doesn't care.
Okay,
that's well, it. That's the reason.
Okay, well, I won't waste my time then.
All right, baby. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, can I say another thing?
Go right ahead.
Okay, another person not too long ago just called and said about the something on the same lines of that, is that blacks used to be the ones that were doing the fighting, but now it's the Caucasian. Well, you still need to check history, too. Because when this country was founded, race played a part because in slavery, we were mistreated, our forefathers anyway, were mistreated by Ku Klux Klan who were Caucasians, white.
And sweetie, he doesn't care either.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, people like that just don't care.
Okay, so whenever black people fight back against something, then we'll
consider. Then they care.
Okay.
That's when they care. Thank you. I appreciate you calling. That's the end of our program. Maybe the end of me. Barbara Fling, my eternal thanks, sir, for being the phone producer. Rob Lori, producer program. Wednesday, midpoint, we'll have Super NOLA, as usual. And right after top of the hour news, African Safari with Kwaku. This is your hero, Mark Biro, thanking you once again. And I'm on my way.
This is WMNF in Tampa.